Okay, let's begin Parshas Noach, Tavshin Pehei, the 17th round, Baruch Hashem, of our Parsha Shiurim, that we are starting a new season, post-Yontif, and Parshas Noach, and the Hischadshus that we have to feel as we always start the cycle again, Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, which we didn't get to have a shiur on this year, but let's get right into Noach. But it's about a pasuk at the end of last week's parsha, so we'll be yotzi a little bit talking about Bereishis and Noach. This is an idea that I gave you both. The same idea is found in the Kedushas Levi or Levi Yisrael Mibarditchev, and also from the Bas Ayin, the Avreicher. We'll read it from the Kedushas Levi in Source number 1. The end of last week's parsha, we know Noach is born, and he's named Noach because everybody knew. They prophesized that that Noach was going to give them some type of comfort, some type of nechama after the ground was cursed. Noach was going to bring some type of positivity to the earth. We mentioned in the past a fascinating medrash that how did they know that? Maybe Noach was the first person born with separated digits. Up until that point, everybody would have like mittens. Their fingers were connected to each other. So obviously you can't hold any tools like that. But Noach was the first one that had separated fingers, separated digits. So that's why. Okay, but at the end of the parsha, it talks about how everyone else, the whole world was already falling apart. These Nephilim, whoever they were, the giants, they fell from Shemayim, angels. And Vayinachem Hashem ki asa esa adam ba'aretz, Vayitzatzev olibo. Hashem was kaviyachol upset. Vayinachem Hashem. I'm going to destroy the world. But Noach stood in contrast to the rest of the world. Noach matzachin. He found favor in the eyes of God. And then we have in this week's parsha, Elo tolos Noach, Noach is tzadik tamim haya b'darosav. Says the Kedushas Levi, source number 1. The Haklal. He doesn't quote this from the Baal Shem Tov, but it's quoted in the name of the Baal Shem Tov in other context. The Haklal. Kol dover shatzadik roe mimenu lokeach avodas Hashem. Whatever we see in life, we see for a reason. There's some reason that passed in front of my eyes. This is not talking about a case where I'm watching something that I shouldn't be watching. But in general, if I'm walking down the street, if I'm going through life, and I happen to witness something, there's a reason that I witnessed it, that I'm supposed to take a message from it. Right? Called Davar Shatzadik Roe, Mimenu Lokech, Avodas Hashem, Vimroa Chas V'Shalom, Eze Adam, Misave La'Aveira. If I see a person having a strong taiva to do the wrong thing, Lokech Hatzadik Mizeh HaTaiva Avodas Hashem, I should try to take that in the positive. Wow, look how strong somebody could strive to get somewhere, to achieve something. So I'm going to use that in the positive. Shomer belibo kavachomer. Ma ze shemitzave ledvar aveira. If somebody who has such a desire for a dvar aveira, shehu kala v'nifsad bizman muat, which is very ephemeral, it goes, it's fleeting, and they're trying so hard for such a temporary hana. Mikol shekein shiroi lo lehislahiv lavodas Hashem yisbarach. So surely, if I could gain eternity with what I'm striving for, if this person strives with such hislavos and such alacrity and love and desire for a temporary hana, so surely to strive for something that is eternal. Shavodazu yikayim laolam. So what happened? That's what Noah did. He sees at the end of last week's parasha, Vayiru b'nei Elokim es b'nos ha'adam, Shemara ha'kasev sha'az ha'yachin ra ba'olam, Sha'anashim ha'yalem chen b'nei anashim. These Nephilim saw the women and they had a desire, U'mikoach zeh bachur lehem kol asher ratzu, and they took whatever they wanted. Noach matzachin. Noach was able to look around, and what does it say at the beginning of our parasha? Noach ish tzadik. Because a tzadik, says the Kedushas Levi, is someone who could look around at any situation, even the opposite of what he's supposed to be doing. Not that he should be, you know, we should be wanting to see these things. But if we happen to see it, and the whole world was involved in this, Noach was able to see the opposite. Matzachain pirish. Matzah ba'olam midaschain. Shehaya l'taivos ros. He saw a strong desire, a strong taiva, and he was able to channel that But he took that, he matzachen, he found favor in that midah, and he took it and he channeled it in a different way, to the positive. V'yamar akasa v'noach matzachen b'nei Hashem. Shenoach higbiachen ahu b'nei Hashem. L'kedusha, shemimenu lakach avodas Hashem sh'amar, mashyeshchen l'tavos roos, mikol shekein shi'adam mishtokek, shimsachen b'nei Hashem. And that's what Noach did. He saw what was going on around him at this stage, and he took it for himself. Again, it does not say that he uplifted others. We'll have to get to that. But that's what the Kedushas Levi says. And this is what the Bas Ayin says as well, a generation later. And he adds on a gematria. A gematria, we'll just add, look towards where it's underlined. Ratzal Omar. She'amar misha edvak ez atzmi bahavli olam azeh. Olam v'over v'chay yishah. Muta v'shadeh ben atzmi v'dveikos libi. V'kochi b'shem. Right, I'm gonna see what a man could do with his desire, and I'm gonna desire that and use that for in the positive. And he adds, Chain begematria, kvod Hashem. Hashem in Yudke Vavke. Favor, you take a midah, and that could be a kiddush Shem Shemayim. Kvod Hashem, and everywhere he looked, he could find kvod Hashem. She ra'as b'nei doro, they were doing the opposite, but he was able to overcome. Okay. So the message for us obviously is everything that we around us, that we see, that we happen to see an unusual event, we can learn something from it. We just have to try to internalize and think about it and do a cheshbon nefesh, what exactly that means for me. Is this something I should copy? Is this something I should do the opposite of? You know, everything is up for discussion. Everything, remember this past summer, I took, my father, Oliver Shalom, I remember mentioned, my father took me to one or two Met games every year. So I remember I took my kids this summer, lechvod my father, we went, and right behind us, we were sitting towards the front, and there was a foul ball, like five rows behind us. We turn around, we're watching, and there was a woman that was about to catch the ball. And there's a guy sitting two rows behind him, her, he sticks his hand right in front of her face, and catches the ball right in front and takes it away from her. And the whole section is looking at this like, oh, okay, so that's what happens in a baseball game. And the guy turns around and starts celebrating with his family. And we're just watching this. And all of a sudden, this woman, who the ball was taken from in front of her face, turns around and slaps the guy on the back like a very loud five finger. And everybody was like, staring, like, what did we just see? The guy turns around and said, what? And, I don't know, about 10 people got in between, that there was no major, fist fight after that. But, when I was talking to my kids right afterwards, I thought about this Baal Shem Tov. I'm like, what did we just see? And, what would you do? And they're like, oh, he deserved it, he stole it from him, and so, but anyways, every time you see something, you have to know exactly why you see, and the emotion that people have in terms of that. I guess we could channel it for Avodas Hashem properly. And Mashreinu Matov Chalkenu. Okay, we continue. Says the Rabbeinu Bachai at the beginning of the parsha. Rabbeinu Bachai, as we have mentioned, whenever he mentioned Rabbeinu Bachai starts off every parsha with a pasuk in Mishlei. And then writes a page about that pasuk, and then says, and this is exactly what the pasuk means, and he goes into the first pasuk of the parsha. Rabbeinu Bachai, again, one of the great Rishonim in the generation after the Ramban. So, towards the end of his Hakdama, I didn't give you the whole page and a half, but towards the end of that, he says in source number 3, V'itachin lefaresh, it's possible, ki akasiv hazeh, bol shabeach shalosh mailos shein zu l'mal mizu. The pasuk here in the first pasuk of the parsha is praising Noach in three areas. We mention every year that Noach is one of the most enigmatic figures in all of Tanakh. We usually know good guy, bad guy. Tzaddik, Rasha. Usually what list he's on. And for some reason, the Baalei Agada in the Medrash have opposite approaches to Noach. As we'll see in the Rashi, Beit Hashem, in a few minutes. But so here, though, the parsha of the pasuk is it's all good. Noach ish tzaddik tamim hayib darosav esalakim esalak Noach. All positive. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, these are three milos that Noach had. Right, tzaddik, tamim, Esher Elokim is Halech Noach. Those are three areas. Three areas. What are those areas? Hizker Tchilas Tchila Mishalech Umalas Hahishalchus Hilamala Gedola Bitzadikim Hilamala Mimadrekas Hatamimus. His Halchus, walking with God, is even higher level, that's why he's third, even greater than being a Tamim. Umadrekas Hatamimus Lamala Mimadrekas Hatzadik. And then being a tamim is even greater than being a tzaddik. Ki yesh tzaddik she'eino tamim, shelo yigiyah lamadregas hatamimus. Ve'elu ein seder amalos. Therefore, there are three levels, and we'll explain what each of these are. But there are three levels of achievements in spirituality. Achar she'yigiyah lamidas hatzaddik, olo lamidas hatamim, umidas tamim, olo lamidas hatzalchus. Ve'shlosh tonelu nimsu benoach. And Noach had all three. Tzaddik, tamim, his halchus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we have Eila Todos Noach in the first pasuk. So what are these midos? What are these three areas that Noach excelled in? V'hizkar akasev b'tzadik azeh shalosh milos. Shel shevach shehoyu behefich mibnei doro. Note that each of these midos in which he excelled in were the opposite of what was going on in his generation. There was nobody. There was nobody like him. Right? He was generation number 10. Right, and all the people in the world were not following the way. Ha'achas, number one, so first level, shuhayat tzaddik b'ma'asav. He was a tzaddik in, he was righteous in his ways. In his ways. Lo ish chamas kibnei doro. Not like those who committed robbery. Shekasav ematimalei aris chamas. The world was full. Full. If the Torah writes the world was full, that means it was really full. There was no area which was not involved in Hamas. And that is number one. He was a tzaddik in how he behaved. Even though everybody else was doing different things, but he was a tzaddik in that way. I once heard a pshat, I think, from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein. He said that a tzaddik always means taking care of other people. Right? A tzaddik means taking care. Because who's called a tzaddik? Who's called a tzaddik in Tanakh? We call Yosef a tzaddik. We call Yosef Binyamin a tzaddik, Chazal say. But if you look in the Torah, who's called a tzaddik? Yosef is called, in Chazal, and Noach is tzaddik. Both of those people sustained the world. Noach sustained the world. It was on the boat. And Yosef sustained the world in Mitzrayim. And that's what makes you a tzaddik, when you're focusing on others sustaining them. And there's even a remez, Poseaches yodecha umasbia l'chol chai ratzon, tzaddik, Hashem b'chol derachav. Right, so that's a remez to, you know, tzaddik is right after masbia l'chol chai ratzon, tzaddik, and that's Noach, and that is Yosef. So number one is tzaddik b'maisav. Number two, shnia, shaya tamim. What's tamim? Shalim b'chol midosav. That's midos. That's midos, that's inside. That's religious personality perfection. Because as we know, a unblemished animal is called a tam. A tam. Kalashan akasav, para aduma, tamima. Asher ein ba mum, no blemish. Umum adam yamida maguna. And what is a blemish on a person? Not what he does, but who he is. Right? If we have not perfected in the area of our midos, then we're blemished. Right, if I have not perfected the midah of jealousy, or the midah of anger, or the midah of lack of patience, so then that's a blemish on my personality. Tamim means there's no blemish. No blemish. V'yalkein hizker b'noach yaya tamim shalein ein bo mum, ki ein bo midah maguna. Right, no midah maguna. And again, the hefech mibnei doro. That's the opposite of his door. Shehayu bali midas magudos. They all are terrible. Not only did they do chamas, but kihishchis kobasar as darko. The derech of the generation, of each person of the generation, was off. That's number two. So we might say tzaddik in terms of maisim, tamim in terms of religious personality, midos. What's three? Esho elokim is halach noach. That's the third level. V'yadua. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, ki midas ha-hishalchus lo mitzanu rak b'yechidei hador. That is not common. That's an uncommon midah, to have somebody who walks with God. Not too many people in the Torah. Does it describe that way? and it's tzaddik and tamim, maybe we could use. He walks with Hashem. Umashamar akasuf, acharei Hashem alokechem telechu, velo kamar hishalchu, shiyushu bedaber gam klal Yisrael. Telechu is different. After Hashem go, not with Hashem. It's different. The mitzvah is acharei Hashem alokechem telechu. That's different, says Rabbi Nebuchai. So what does this mean? Va'amayla ha'gadol ha'azos einena ki'im b'prati ha'yechidim. Skulos kol dar v'dar. So only a few individuals in every generation are going to reach the level of his halchus with Hashem. Va'od, and also, she'en lashen zen nofel ela au. What does this lashen mean? Walking with? Only talking about ha'tzadik shehisig ma'alas ha'shemesh v'kochos ha'galgalim v'ha'kochavim. Somebody understands not only this world, but the upper worlds. Somebody who understands the Rambam's Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah from the beginning to the end, the first couple of prakim that often people skip, right? The Perek Aleph, Perek Shlishi, the Ketzad in Paul and Bula Sevela. If I understand how and use it to appreciate a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world, the sun and the moon and the stars and the constellations, Lefi She'im Asaga Hazos. If I could understand all of that, and he's going to say, and not worship them, but realize that they are all servants. So that's a tremendous level, because that's using my super genius, but recognizing that there is a power above. Lefisha im hasaga hazos, misparsi malas adon hakol viroma muso. I recognize the godless of Hashem, v'chein amar David. What do we say every Shabbos morning? David HaMelech says, hashamayim misaprim kvod kel. The heavens tell out the covet of Hashem. Umayse yada magad rakia. Right? His handiwork is reflected by the heavens. And therefore, if one can understand that, astronomy, astrology, how that reflects the ratzon of Hashem. And that's what Chazal say, he quotes in Masechta Shabbos. Kol ha'yodea lachshov p'tekuvos u'mazolos ve'eno choshev. If somebody has this ability to study this and to understand it, and they don't, that's terrible. The Alkane skipped two lines. Amar ben Noach, Ezokim is Halech Noach. Noach reached this level. Not only was he Shalem in his Maisim and his Midos, but we might say in his intellect. In his intellect, recognizing the genius of the world and still having enough humility to believe that there's a power behind all of it. Ki hisig mahalech Hashemesh v'kochosav. He understood the orbits of the sun, the kochosav ho'atzumim, the yada kochos ha'kochavim ha'mazalos, and the stars, v'lo nata libo achrayim, and he didn't follow them. There were many, you might say, in that generation that had this genius, but then they were misled. And they said, oh, the sun and the moon and the stars are so awesome, we're going to start worshipping them. Ki yada b'chachmaso, but Noach knew, ki yesh siba el yona al kulan v'nidbakba. He knew there is a Siba El Yona. There's an ultimate, original cause. V'zeh behefach me'anshi doru she'ov the Hashemesh. Again, opposite of the generation. V'yishkuim avodas kochavim. They were all sunken into avodazara. V'hamazalos. Like the Rambam describes, as we'll get to a little bit later, the beginning of avodazara. First, they started worshiping the sun as a servant of God, but they forgot the detail about being a servant, and they just focused on the sun. And who was the first? The first to do this was Chanoch, the Torah says. Right? The Torah says, Vayishale Chanoch is im Elokim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him, Avram Avinu, Hishalech Lefanai Ve'yetamim. But this is the third Midah. The third Midah of perfecting in action, that's Tzadik, perfecting in Midah, that's Tamim, and perfecting in, we might say, intellect, and understanding, so that is Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, that's what he says about Noach. Okay, so all different areas Noach was able to perfect himself. So let's get to the Rashi. So far we've only spoken about the last pasuk of last week's Parsha, and the first pasuk of this week's Parsha, and now we're going to get to the first Rashi. The first Rashi, again, much is written about every word of this Rashi. Every word of this Rashi is focused on. Bidorosav. Keep in mind that Rashi is, the Dibur Maskil of the Rashi is on that. We assume that the Dibur Maskil of Rashi were also part of Rashi's wisdom. Like, why did he write something on these words and not other words? And sometimes we can be medayik. Sometimes you have to read the Dibur Maschil along with what Rashi says. Not often. Sometimes in the Gemara, probably more often. But sometimes here too. But here, you have to, but at least which part of the pasuk is Rashi commenting on? That's also always important to study. So here Rashi is commenting on the word bidarosav, and that's going to be important for us tonight. Yesh be rabosenu darshimot alishvach. There are those rabbis that darshin this pasuk to praise Noach. He was a tzaddik tamim in his generations. Kol shagein shilhayi b'dor tzaddikim ayi tzaddik yoser. Well, if he was in a greater generation of tzaddikim, he would have been an even greater tzaddik. The yesh darshin was l'gnai, and some darshin it l'gnai. So some point out, it doesn't say yesh be rabosenu, because you're not a rabosenu if you're darshing it l'gnai. Okay, v'yitarshin it l'gnai l'fi doro hayat tzaddik. For his door, he was a tzaddik. V'lo yibador shal Avram, lo yinechshav l'klum. But if he would have been in Avram's door, he wouldn't have been considered anything. Another question, why does this say door shal Avram? And the first Rashi said, no, door of tzaddikim. Why isn't it parallel? Door of tzaddikim in both or door of Avram? These are all questions that we're not going to deal with. But the question that the Maharal is bothered by, he doesn't say this, but probably what's behind his comment, which we'll see in a moment, is the question of many of, look at the pasuk. It's l'gnai. Noach ish tzaddik. Nobody else in the whole Torah gets an introduction like that. We've talked about that also. Noach ish tzaddik tamayiv derosav. Yeah, this is a negative. A negative? That's really hard. He was awesome in his generation. So why do you say he was awesome? So it's hard to say that this is a general viewpoint of Noach. Says the Maharal here in the Gur Aryeh in source number 4. Afal gav she'ein hachra b'milas b'darosav. He says, being honest, the word b'darosav does not tip you off in any direction. It doesn't lead to one side or the other, one other thing or the other. Shareish l'farei sh'neim. They're both fit in. Depending how you read it, they're both equally possible. He was great in his generation, but in others, he was great in his generation, and surely in others, they both sound good. So first of all, why would, you know, you take one side over the other? They're equally be able to fit into the word. So number one, said the Maharal, I don't think this is real machlokas about, you know, his nature, because they would be equal. V'ein lomar d'baha pligi. And don't tell me, says the Maharal, that they're arguing fundamentally. Ki lamanda amr l'shvach, bishvul shayat tzadik gadol, ein l'farish l'gnai. Ulamanda amr l'gnai, havi ifcha. Don't tell me that they reject each other's opinion, because I don't think so. I think that they both would accept each other's opinion, meaning, d'zeino, d'al karchach, you have to say, says the Maharal, l'manda amr l'shvach, according to one who says that this pasuk is meant to praise Noach, svir le'nami, ilohai b'dor shel Avram, lo yinechshav l'klum. Even according to the one who says l'shvach, what, he was as great as Avram? Even according to the one who says l'shvach, if he would have been in Avram's door, he would not have been close to Avram. Everybody would agree to that, says the Maharal. And the opposite, shlo yinechshav k'mo Avram. V'lchein, line 11, l'man d'amar l'gnai, and if you say l'gnai, obviously, if he would have been in the door of tzaddikim, he wouldn't have been better? Of course he would have been better, if he had a tzaddikim around. So even if you say l'gnai, pshita d'sover gamkein, ilu haya b'dor shal tzaddikim, haya tzaddik yoser, shasvara nosein kein. Right, shekein pirish rashil, come on. If you're surrounded by tzaddikim. So it's not a machloka, says the Maharal, about how the Torah is viewing Noach. It's not a machlokas about that. It's a much more limited machlokas, focused on the word that Rashi is commenting on in his generations. There's a specific detail the Torah is trying to tell us, and that's the machlokas. Ela bazeh pligi, b'bnei shekasev b'ala lamed b'milas b'darosav, lama asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu nesim Noach v'yitzilo min ha'mabul. Now, was he a tzaddik? Was he not a tzaddik? And how was he in other, compared to other generations? No. Everybody agrees to that. He was a great tzaddik. He wasn't as great as Avraham, but he would have been a greater tzaddik if he was surrounded by other tzaddikim. Fine. Everybody agrees to that. What's the machlokes? Why was Noach zoche to be the one that was saved? Why was he zoche? To put it in a word, relative or absolute? That's the machlokas. Was it a relative decision or an absolute decision? In terms of how to view Noah. Let's read it. V'savor man to amr l'gnai. According to the one that says l'gnai, you know what that means? Shahatzalah. He was a tzaddik. But why was he saved? Shahatzalaso mipnei shebedoro haya tzaddik. Because he was a tzaddik. He was the tzaddik of his door. Was he the greatest tzaddik in the world? No, but he was the tzaddik of his door. Enough that when Hashem had to destroy the whole world and leave somebody alive to start again with, he's the one that was picked. But he wasn't picked only uniquely for his own, who he was, but because who he was in relative terms to the rest of the world. That's Lignai. Not judging him in a vacuum, but saying why was he the one that was saved. Because there was no other greater tzaddik in his door. That's why he's called a tzaddik here. V'kadosh Baruch Hu oseh lo neis. Even though if he would have been in a door of other tzaddikim, maybe the other tzaddikim would have been the ones that were zochet to be saved. V'raya, where do you see this idea that Hashem looks in relative terms? We have it later on in Bereishis. Remember Lot? Lot runs away. He doesn't want to go to the city. Why? When I was with Avraham, I was considered a nothing. If I go to another, here I'm alone. It says, so the man d'amar l'gnai is saying that he wasn't saved based on his own merit. He might have been a tzaddik and a good guy, but the reason Hashem saved him is because he was the greatest tzaddik of his generation. That's l'gnai. Ule'idach l'sha d'amar l'shvach haya nitzol mipnei. No. Noach was awesome. Noach, he was saved for his own merit. And if he would have been in other generations, he would have been even greater. And because if he would have been in another generation, he would have even been greater, Hashem considered him even greater. Because it all depends on your situation. That's the machlokas. Not about giving a general viewpoint about how you view Noach. Everybody agrees on almost everything. There's a detail. Why was he the one to be saved in this situation? Right? Ma haya nitzal Noach. Fasha lo yikshe. Gamkin loma masabra akosa begnusa shal sadik. According to one that says l'gnai, why is the Torah telling us, you know, something negative about Noach? We're just meeting him and the Torah is telling us about something negative? No. We're not saying something negative. We're just describing why he was the one to be saved. Because he was the greatest tzaddik of his door. That's it. Of his door. Because he was a tzaddik? Because he was a tzaddik because of his door. To teach us that this is what Hashem does. If Hashem gets upset at the whole world, then he's going to save the one that's the greatest tzaddik in the world. Like he did with Lot, Lahavdil. But that's what he says. And that's what he says towards the end. The lo pligi ela b'milas b'darosav. That's the only machlokas about that word. The lo pligi b'ish sadik. Tefad yakom modem shef levzeh b'shul shivcho. Ma milas b'darosav lo menechtav ilishvach ilignai. Okay. So I guess we have to move off of the first pasuk. Again, as we see, we could spend a long time on everything. So maybe a thought that we mentioned in the past in the name of Chiddushei Arim, but I saw it in the words of Rav Zevin this year. And that is, the Pasuk says that there were many Averis that were done in the door of the Mabul, but the one that sealed their fate was Hamas. Vatishacheis ha'aretz lefneho Elokim. The world became destroyed. Vatimalei ha'aretz Hamas. You have the Pasuk in Pasuk Yud Aleph. And then Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'yomer l'kim l'noach, Keitz kal basar ba'al l'fanai, ki mal ha'aretz chamas mipneihem, v'hinei mashchisam es ha'aretz, and I'm destroying, you got to build a teva. And Rashi quotes, lo nechtam gzar din, ela al hagezel. Chamas here means robbery, thievery. Says Rav Zevin, again, this is also asked by the others, why was that the final straw? Right? They were terrible averis. They said they were doing many, many averis. But that was the final straw, Gezel. Right? Why that? So says Rav Zevin, again, I think it's the same idea that we mentioned in the past from other Mefarshim. He first notes that we also mention Gazel in another very significant context, and that's in Ne'ilah. When we talk about in Ne'ilah what we do wrong, we don't, no more Al-Chetz. There's Ashamna, but there's no more Al-Chetz. Right? So what do we say there? But Tfilas Ne'ilah Shema Kippurim. Anu Omrim Lama Nechtal Me Oshek Yadenu. Right? Help us stop from violating Oshek, keeping money that doesn't belong to us. Bimkom kol aviduyim arabim sheomrim b'chol hayom. Instead of, in the place of all the viduis, all the alchets that we said so many times, bimkom kol osam achatam avonos abshaim shemefartim b'meshach hayom kishaba shas achasima. When the time of sealing comes, shas neilas sharim misachmim es kol ela b'mishpat katzar maod. We summarize, so to speak, all of the sins into one, and that's gazel. So everything we did is stealing. So what does that mean? How does that somehow capture all of the averis that we did? Is it are we going on to a different topic now? Rav Zevin says, I'd rather say no, this somehow captures all of the averis together. Kolach Hasima, says Rav Zevin now, Gidra Tamsis Ha'ikr V'Tachlas HaMechuvan. Whenever you have a final Hasima, a final line, signing, it summarizes everything that was beforehand. Hakol holich achar achasum. Right, everything goes after the chasima. V'lachein achasima shakol averis hi gezel oshek v'yadayim. What does that mean? And it's not only ben adam achavero. Right, this is a summary of all the averis. All the achates are taken out. Lo bilvad averis ben adam achavero, la afilish ben adam amakom. How are we supposed to understand that? How does everything boil down to gezel? So says Rav Zevin, a thought that maybe we've said before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives each of us kochos. Each of us different talents. Hashem gives us breath. He gives us life to use in a certain way, to sanctify His image. When we misuse what was given to us, Latov, so then that's robbery. That's robbing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. He gave us something. We're being Mishanim Midas Balabayas. We're being sholeach yad bepikadon, to use a term from Bab Metzia, right? We're misappropriating goods that we were given. Ha'adam gozel es atzmo, es mocho, es machshavaso, es daito. A person's robbing his own items from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Our bodies are kodesh. They belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval barosh, aval Rosho umocho batzmuso kodeshem bitzelam alokim asas haadam bofan sheroshi yilamala moch shalita aliv v'chulu. So when we misuse the kochos that we're given, that's stealing. He continues, if we misuse special time that we're given, if we misuse Shabbos, if we misuse Yontif, then that's stealing those special moments from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's gezel. Who goes al afizmano in ba'osam azmanim, I could have done something else. Zmanim yichadim, remember that thought of the Gra? The Gra says that in the future we're going to have to give a din v'cheshbon. What's din v'cheshbon, the double lashon? Din is what we did, the things that we did wrong, and cheshbon is the good things that we could have been doing during that time. Din v'cheshbon. So he says, it could be where we're stealing our kochos, or that we're stealing our time. Or, let's say we go to shul, and we don't use the shul properly. What it could be used for kedusha, so we're stealing the makom. Who goes elis makomo? In beis haknesset, beis hamedrash, who machnas as kol achatzir, abatzalom v'chulu. And he continues. So that is why we recognize. That's what we say in the ila. Everything could be summarized as every sinas chinam and lashon hara and all the averis can be summarized that we're stealing what Hashem has given us and not using it for the company. Right, for the company goals. And that's why Gezel, and that's why Hamas. Right, and that's when there's a misappropriation of the time that was given. I think we mentioned a couple of years ago that, many years ago, I think more than a decade, Rav Pam's thought on the Parsha. Rav Pam notes, how did the generation reach such a low level? Such a low level. The whole world, Fatishachais Haaretz. So Rav Pam says, well, think about it. Think about the Medrash that we just quoted before. Right, Noach's generation was the first one to have tools. whether he had the first half fingers, okay, either way, they had tools. They started working the land. What does that mean? It took them quicker, less time, to make bread, to harvest. And that means more free time. The generation of Noah had more free time. What does more free time mean? More free time could be an unbelievable gift, an amazing gift. What we could do in free time, we could start new programs, new learning, and new anything. But free time could also be our downfall. Right? The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, "Exubis batala mevi aladi shiamum." You know, free time, no responsibilities, no chores. The Gemara in Exubis, the Mishnah in Exubis, talks about how a man's always working, but a woman has to do a certain level of work. What if the man says, "I'm rich, I'm giving you 100 shfachos, you don't have to do anything. You could sit and do nothing all day." Gemara says that's not good. It's not good to do nothing. Right? Because that's what free time, that's what happened at the time of Noach. They took their free time and they sunk with it. They sunk, and that's where Rambam says how they went down. But that's Hamas, because they stole their time. They stole their time. We have to recognize the gift of time, the gift of every moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Good. Moving right along. So we have the flood, a lot to talk about in the flood. But as the flood starts, as we know, Noah goes into the Teva. And we have a phrase that's used that we discussed often. Right, the rain starts. First it's Geshem, which means it was raining. Maybe if they would have done Shuvah, then it would have stopped. But then Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Zayin Yud Gimel, Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh, Banoach V'Shem V'Chom V'Yefes B'nei Noach. They all went into the Teva. Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh. What does Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh mean here? Pasuk Yud Gimel, Rashi, Limetcha Kasev, Shahayu B'nei Doro Omrim, Ilu Hanu Roam Oso Nichras LaTeva. Right, they heard Noach telling them for 120 years, God's going to bring a mabul, I'm going to build a teva, do tshuva. So what they say, if we see you going into that teva, we are going to break the teva down. We're not going to let you go in. Ilu anu rom oso nichlas teva anu shovrin oso, v'hargin oso, we're going to kill you. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani machniso leinei kulam, v'nirid var miyakum. You know what? Be'etzam hayom hazeh. They're going to go into the teva 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's see. Not 4 in the morning when you're all sleeping. 12 in the afternoon, let's see whose word wins. Right? Whose word wins? You're going to kill him? You're going to break it? Let's see. Rashi quotes, he surrounded it with lions and tigers. Says Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh. So what happened? So Noach got in. So what did the generation think? Did they do tshuva then? And they see the mabul starting exactly what was forecast by Noach. Exactly to the day. In another 7 days, it's going to happen. It's going to start raining. It's going to get worse. And I'm going to go into the teva, and you're not going to kill me. So says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, source number 7, Hispone na bedar harazeh, she'achareish is here in Kuf Chavshana, v'schilu drav l'skayim. His words, 120 years, he's giving them a prediction, exactly when things are going to happen, and it starts happening. And still they didn't do tshuva. You know, you see from here, you could see the greatest miracle in the world, and still not believe. It's every time we see something, to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a decision. And we could be brainwashed the other way. V'zehu hochacha keneged ha'omrim. And this is proof against those who say, Ilmali re'inu ata anshe Hashem Yisbarach. If we would see the makos, if we would see the miracles of yesteryear, we would believe. We would be tzaddikim gemurim. We wouldn't do anything wrong. Follow kankvar rosh is kaim and debrinach. They see exactly. They see exactly everything is taking being fulfilled. V'yafalpikim lo shavu v'chein matzina b'kriyas yamsuf. Same thing with kriyas yamsuf. Remember, one of the most amazing psukim. Kriyas yamsuf is described in Parshat Bishalach. The water split. The Egyptians see the Jews. What do? They run after them. They jump in. Let's go get them. But did they not see what was? They said, "See what was going on." Did they not realize that this was the greatest miracle in the? So v'chema tibu kriyas yamsuf, shiroa mitzriim, shahayam miskara. How could they not see it? And yet they ran in. Right, Afal Pikin, the end of Sura 7. Lo Yaru Bilodavach Evidez of Sochayam, Gamache Shero. And it wasn't just there. How did they get to the Yam in the first place? Right, the Psukim described in Beshalach. I gave you the Rabbi Yaakov from Parshat Beshalach. Right, what do they say a few days later? Oh my, I can't believe we let the Jews out. I can't believe, I mean, how long ago was Kriyas Yamsuf? Was Makas Bechoros? 3 days. It was 3 days ago, and the Egyptians are saying, how did we let them leave? Like, it was, what, Now, 3 days later, they call it food poisoning. Yeah, there was a big Bechor party, and they all went, even though it was not just the firstborns that were there, it was the firstborns from different mothers and different... So what is... over and over again, miracles don't bring emunah. If somebody doesn't want to believe, they can convince themselves to just not believe. And if there are miracles, we have to try to make sure that the effect of the miracle doesn't wear off. It can't wear off. We see miracles in our day. We've seen miracles very recently. Right? Amazing, amazing miracles. In terms of missiles, in terms of Rahman al-Aslan, we've witnessed tragedies as well. But the amazing miracles, even on October 7th, Simchas Torah, the miracles that took place on that day, that it wasn't worse than it was, Rahman al-Aslan. But either way, we have to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and keep our eyes open in terms of seeing the Yad Hashem. Good. Two more points let's try to squeeze in. And that is... Rav Soloveitchik points out, interesting. So after the Mabul, Perek Tes, all the way at the end. After the Mabul, Hashem gives a bracha to Noach and his children, Pru Revu, and the animals should be scared of you. And the Pasuk says that Hashem made a covenant. Or, I shouldn't say that. Rav Soloveitchik didn't use these Lashonos, but Hine Mekim es Brisi Yitchem. I will establish a bris. Zos osa bris, Hashem gives a sign. The rainbow is the bris. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out you have it in the Rav's Chumash, and you also have it here in the Mipnini Arav in Surah 79. This was a different type of krisas bris than Hashem did with the Avos. Right, this was a bris Hashem promised not to destroy the world anymore. It's not like a personal covenant with an individual. This you might call a bris with mankind. There's a covenant that Hashem made with mankind to never destroy the world again with water. Right? That's what the Hine Mekim or at all. Mekim es brisi etchem ve'zarachem achreichem. But it's not just you, but it's the whole world. Not personal. With Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it was a personal covenant to their children and their grandchildren. Why? What did Hashem see in Avraham and the others that he did not see in Noach? Okay, I'm going to comment that many say, but he says it here. Because Avraham Avinu, he bargained and stood up for those around him. Even in stone. And from Noach, you don't hear a peep. Right? You don't hear a word of defense. So there are those that explain, well, he knew they were too far gone. He knew they were... But Chazal pick up on this, though. Chazal evinu deilu hayabem esadik gadol kavram avinu hayakadosh baruch hu koris bris imo. Hashem could have been koris bris with him, but he didn't. And he quotes a Zohar to that effect as well. Because what's the covenant, the rainbow? We've quoted this in the past from Rav Meir Shapiro, but here you have it from Rav Soloveitchik. Why dafka a rainbow? Is that the covenant? Is that the bris? Because Noach really gave up on his door. He gave up. He thought they were too far gone, too dark. They were too dark. What's a rainbow? You have the darkest, dreariest of weather patterns. And out of that comes the most beautiful array of colors. That's the rainbow. Noach, it's not too dark. They're not too far. One should never give up. And that's what the rainbow symbolizes. And that's... Why, says Rav Soloveitchik, Hashem did not make that covenant for generations with Noach, but only with Avram afterwards. And he says, maybe this is a deeper idea we have sometimes in the Gemara. He quotes the Gemara in Ksubas Ayin Zayin. On line 25, he quotes from Rav Shimon Bayachai, that Rav Shimon Bayachai, when Rav Shua ben Levi, remember the story, Ksubas Ayin Zayin Mabez, Rav Shua ben Levi stole the knife of the Malach HaMaves, and he jumped into Gan Eden while he was alive. So anyway, if you remember the story, Rashbi Shimon bar Yochai asked Rav Shimon ben Levi, did you ever see a rainbow? Was there a rainbow in your generation? And there wasn't. But what was he asking him in a deeper sense? Rav Soloveitchik said he was asking, did you believe in people? Or did you not, and Hashem had to show you a rainbow to give you the message of Noach? Or maybe you believed in them no matter how far off they were, and therefore he didn't have to show a rainbow. Right? We say a rainbow is a bad simian because it means Hashem wants to destroy the world. It's a different idea. A different idea. Kadosh Baruch Hu, did Hashem have to show you a rainbow? Did you believe in people? Did you believe? And he quotes other Gemaras that fit into this as well, but that's the message, the difference between a Noach and an Avraham. And that's why there's a bris, but there's a different kind of bris. I'm sure if we analyze the psukim, we could notice differences between the language of the psukim here, which is a bris with mankind, not a religious covenant. Right? One also might say, the difference in the usually a covenant requires commitments on both sides. This covenant did not require a commitment. Humanity doesn't have to do it. It could be so just as terrible, but Hashem's never going to destroy the world anymore. But the covenant with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you know, required certain behaviors. Okay. And finally, we spoke about Noach, which was at the end of last week's parsha, but Avram Avinu is born at the end of this week's parsha. And it doesn't talk about in the Torah, as we know, we've mentioned. Nowhere in the Torah does it talk about Ur Kasdim, the story that happened in Ur Kasdim with Nimrod and getting thrown into the fiery furnace, that it's all remez. That's a remez based on a pasuk later on in the Torah, Asher Hosei Sicha, by Ur Kasdim. I took you out of Ur Kasdim, I saved you from Ur Kasdim. But the whole journey of Avraham Avinu is not mentioned in the Torah. Next week's parsha, Hashem says, Lach Lecha. The Kotzker, based on the Medrash, source number 10, the Medrash says, Ben Memchashana Hikir Avram Avinu as Baro. Avram Avinu was 48 years old when he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? 48. Pirish, Ki Kol Memchashana Hayaholich V'choker. 48 doesn't mean one day. You know, he woke up and recognized Hashem. It was zero, and then it was 100. No, it was a 48-year process, says the Kotzker. Hayaholich, 48 years. Achi Gia Lishnas Memches. Hikers Bar Mamish. Then he reached the level, 48. Then he reached full understanding. Really? Full? So some say the same idea to explain many of the Midrashim. There are many different sheets about when Hashem was recognized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I gave you the Rambam in source 11. The Rambam says he was 40. Line 23. The Ravid says he was 3. 3, 40, 48. Some say 52. Some say 52. That was the year 2000. Avram was born in 1948 on the Hebrew calendar, and 52 was the year 2000. Gemara Avodah Zarah, 2000 years Torah. So many, with a machlokes and metzias. Machlokes, different ages, when was it? No, we'd rather say, many mefarshim say, I remember I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Rosenzweig, many years ago, it was a process. At 3 years old, he started. 3 and 40 and 48. It was a process. Because we never fully, right? Hikir is boro mamish, is the language of the Kotzker, but that's to one level, but there's always a deeper level. There's always another level to understand, to recognize. I think we mentioned last year the amazing comment, I think it was from Rav Soloveitchik. So fine, he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 48 and 52 and whatever the age is. When did Hashem speak to him for the first time? 75. Right, 75. So for at least 20 years, he was going around spreading the word of God, monotheism. This is everybody have to believe. How many people probably said to him, did you ever speak to this God? Did he ever communicate with you? No. For more than 20 years, you would have thought, I found you. How about a little hello? A little bit, just a little bit, a little message that I know that I'm right. That I know you exist, that I could prove to people and tell people that I spoke to you. Nothing. nothing for more than 2 decades. And he still, as the Rambam describes in that in source number 11, the whole spiritual religious parade. He didn't have any teacher. Amongst fools. And the Rambam Shita, Avram Avinu himself was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He himself. But he was able to overcome and to leap. But it was a process. So we should recognize, also in our lives, it's a process. We're B'nai Avraham. Right? It's a process. We should always, we should never think that we're there, that we've reached the level. Right? There's a process. Ad Me'a V'Esrim. It's a process of coming to new appreciations and recognitions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should be Zochah to follow in Avram's path. If Avram kept going from age 3, 40, 48, 52, all the way, I'm sure, till 175, right? The Avram Avinu did it, and we should be able to follow in his footsteps in that way as we transition to the parshios of the Avos. Okay, we will stop here.